How important, brethren, is the value of loyalty to our Christian lives? How important? Sometimes we understand that we should be loyal. It comes like a given. But how loyal should we be? Have we considered it very careful, this quality of loyalty? And as we know, the scriptures are all written. The Bible is a concise book. Doesn't contain every little thing. But what is there for an important reason, purpose to edify, to teach us, and to help us to have lessons that will help us to overcome sin and attain the desired goal in our life, our destiny, to be immortal beings. Brethren, are you quite certain that you possess an unshakable amount of loyalty? Am I certain that my loyalty to each individual brother or sister is unshakable? Loyalty is defined as the quality of staying firm in your friendship or your support for someone or something, some cause. So it could be loyalty to a brother, could be loyalty to a sister, could be loyalty to the church, could be loyalty to a set of doctrines. Beliefs. Will we remain loyal? Loyal implies a firm resistance to any temptation to desert or to betray. Today's split sermon is entitled Loyalty and Love. Loyalty and love. Just give me a second, brethren. Let me adjust this technology a little bit. Something that will make things easier. Good. Brethren, why should we spend the next 40 minutes or so meditating on a quality that most of us, or all of us, have spent countless hours developing and might be quite rich in? Yet, could we be vulnerable? Could our loyalty give way? Could it collapse? Could it endanger our eternal life? Our loyalty is often tested. Often our loyalty is tested. And maybe we perform quite well. But what if our loyalty is tested to the extreme? What if it goes beyond our normal trials? What would be the outcome? Would we hold fast and be loyal, or would we become traitors? Would we betray one another? Is that possible? Success or failure is what we must meditate on and consider carefully. Jesus Christ revealed a very sobering prophecy for the end time that would affect his people. Let us look at Mark 13, verse 12. Mark 13 and verse 12. It says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. This could be hard to swallow, brethren. This could be hard to meditate on, because of the resistance that our mind will pose to this type of meditation or study. It isn't a normal thing for us to betray those who are close to us. It's not a normal thing, especially a mother, father. Most of the time you say, no, that just can't happen. Just won't happen. So we don't give it enough thought as to whether it could happen. But Jesus said it could. Jesus Christ said it could, and if he says it's good, then we must consider how to avoid it. How must we avoid being traitors? Betrayers are those that are close to us. Mark 13, verse 13 states that, and ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So a time of testing is coming, and it will involve great hatred. The pressure will be on to become disloyal, to turn our backs on those who are close to us, to turn our backs on our friends, turn our backs on blood relatives, and even as close as father or mother. The pressure will be there, and it gets very, very intense. It is not as easy. It is not a walk in the park. The Bible is not without instructions or places where loyalty was tested severely, and those who triumph in loyalty. It's wonderful. Every time I hear the word loyalty, friendship, there's always a couple of people in the Bible that springs to mind. First, it's not easy to find someone quite disloyal. Matthew 18, verse 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. Yes, offenses will come. Offenses, great trials, and betrayals. But this scripture does not say that we have to succumb to betrayal. It goes on to say in Matthew 18, verse 7, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Yes, scriptures will be fulfilled. Scriptures will be fulfilled in the most horrible and negative way. But it doesn't mean that we must fulfill scripture in that way. That is not our role, our function. We have been given instructions so that we can avoid the pitfalls of betrayal, disloyalty. Brethren, let us examine one of the finest examples of loyalty contained in the scriptures. Yet we see that a loyal person in an unguarded moment can reach the height of disloyalty and destruction. If we are not looking at loyalty in a correct manner. And there's one good example in the scriptures. Let us look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1. I'll read from 1 to verse 3. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul, as his own self. Now here we are, men in a company, and David is relating his life experiences as a boy. And the outcome is not the same across the board. Many different listeners, but everyone coming to maybe varying conclusions. Scripture says here that Jonathan, the impact that listening had on Jonathan is that it knitted his heart to David. He could identify with David. He could identify with David's boyhood. The deliverance that God gave David with the lion and the bear. He could identify with that. Let us continue to verse 3. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. This is Jonathan's father now, took him for his own reason. It was not a reason like how Jonathan responded. Jonathan responded with love that the hearts become synchronized. But Saul had a different motive for his being impressed by this story. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. This is one of the finest, except for the covenants that God has made, this is one of the finest covenants that men, that I've read that two men have made. This is a kingdom on a path of destruction, really. The leadership of the kingdom, not really the thing, not really the entire kingdom, but the leadership. The rulership, the leadership was being removed from the ruling family, the royal family, from Saul. And here we have a family member that will take actions to repair a lot of the damage that his father had done. And his father, throughout his lifetime, could not even see the damage that he did to his family. Never repented of it. So much so that God indicated in the scriptures that he would not deal with David in the manner that he dealt with Saul. In fact, brethren, we can't remember any scripture, any place within the scriptures where God said that he removed his spirit from a being. It was a sad state. But Saul went on his merry way. not fully understanding what was going on all around him. So Jonathan was able to see from what David's experiences were that God was with him. And Jonathan wanted to be a part of that experience. It didn't happen in a vacuum because God had also given Jonathan, just prior to that period, great deliverance. He went and he smote a Philistine garrison. There were about 20 men on a half acre or so plot. And Jonathan, along with his armor bearer, went to that garrison and slew the men. And that plunged Israel into a war that they were victorious in. So he could relate to a man, God using a man to fulfill his purpose and giving that man power and strength. Jonathan had trusted God for deliverance against that garrison. Possibly he did not even know the number of men stationed on that garrison, but he was determined, unknown to his father, to attack this garrison. And he had a little sign as to whether God would grant deliverance. In 1 Samuel 14:6, it says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.'" And we could really identify with that scripture. Is a very popular scripture. There is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. So he could identify with what David went through in being alone and fighting with lions and bears. For 40 days, fear prevailed as Goliath taunted Israel. Although God had, as we just read, had just intervened on Israel's behalf, granting both Saul and Jonathan, they were victorious. After that garrison was attacked, they then pursued the Philistines and they were successful. Against all the odds, from a trembling army, they were victorious. Jonathan believed the experiences that David went while he was listening. I believe that they resonated. His experiences resonated with David's experiences. And he was able to see what God could do. And he knew that when you face down a lion and a bear, or a lion or a bear, that it takes God's help to overcome them. You don't just go, man, just don't go and say, I can fight a bear, kill a bear. It doesn't work that way. So Jonathan's heart became knitted as a result of that experience. Admiration and love formed the foundation. Admiration, he admired David, formed the foundation of this exceptionally loyal relationship. A loyal relationship is not a passive one. It will be tried. It will be tested. Jonathan's loyalty was severely tested. Severely tested by his family members, by his blood relatives, whom he loved most. His father tore apart the family, manipulated his daughters against a loyal servant, David. Jonathan remained loyal to David even when his father started to hurl some serious insults at his mother. Can you imagine that? Your father, the king, started to hurl insults at your mother. And maybe there was a good reason. The Bible doesn't say much about it, about her reaction. But most likely in a human experience, this woman's heart was glued to David as well. So she and Jonathan was on the other side. So he was willing to call his wife a perverse woman. You understand? When he attacking his son because of his friendship with David, he called his wife a perverse woman. Now, what was the reason for that? Certainly, I don't think that she followed Saul's way at all. Especially if you put yourself in that position where an army, an overwhelming army, is surrounding your people, and your husband and your son are commanders in that army. Do we ever consider what it would be like for her as a wife, a mother to Jonathan and all his sisters and so on? She knew. Like Israel, all of Israel, all the ones that even God had given deliverance to. Note that as brave as Jonathan was, Jonathan didn't go against Goliath. No one went against Goliath. Everyday fear. This man will come up and taunt Israel. And certainly they didn't see any way out. When David volunteered to go, he said, no, you can't go to fight him. This man is a warrior from his youth, from his birth. I don't know how his mother contended with him, Goliath. Have you ever considered that? If there was a little boy in the district, a little mischievous boy that would come around and entangle himself with her giant son, and the mother have to beg him, leave that little boy alone, that little Dennis. When Dennis come around, don't pay him any mind. You understand? But she had this son that she had to restrain. This man was a very big person. And not only that, her role was cut out for her because he had a brother that was a giant too. So she had double the trouble. And this man would come and taunt. Israel was afraid. There was not a man in Israel that was not afraid. None. Except for one. One person. And that was David. David was not afraid because he knew his track record with God intervened on his behalf. He knew that God would give him deliverance, and he stated that. He wasn't frightened from any Goliath. And although Jonathan didn't volunteer to fight, he could feel what David was expressing. And he knew that God was with David. So she knew that all of her family was, life was at stake if the Philistines had won that war. 40 days, nobody. Terror. This man took pleasure in terrorizing Israel. And I guess he drew it out because he felt that victory would only come to the Philistines. So let us terrorize them a little bit longer. We can carry it as many days, because whenever we're done, they are dead men. So this was the state of that mother in Israel, in the royal family. But brethren, think about how she would have felt when news came to her that someone, a little boy, a little shepherd boy, was able to grant deliverance when she saw so much fear around, and she knew the stress that were on her own body and her concerns about her family and her own life. If you are the king, they are not going to take you and feed you and put you in a nice prison or something like that. That didn't used to work in those days. In fact, later on, you will see what they did with Saul when they really killed him. So how did that mother feel? Would she throw open the palace door to David, or would she say, you're a persona non grata? You're not welcome. Would you? I wouldn't. I don't think it makes sense. This is a deliverance that everybody in Israel wanted. And this young man did something that everyone else failed to do. This act of war was a turning point, a major turning point in Israel's leadership. It is the very first time that the leader of Israel, under whom God will establish the kingdom forever, is publicly seen in action. This is the first time that David is being seen by all Israel. The first time. A little boy, really. And this is the one who would eventually bring peace to Israel. David showed a clear loyalty when he went out there fighting. In his words, his actions, his fearlessness, his courage, David showed a clear loyalty to God during this battle. And there is no one that could attribute this victory to anyone but God. All Israel was clear as to whom David relied on. When you display a sense of loyalty, when you stand up for a friend or a cause, you can become ostracized. You can become on the outside from the mainstream. You can be viewed as unintelligent because you're being pressured to become disloyal. So those who are applying pressure is not going to take it easy. They see you as if you don't buckle to their pressure. You're plain senseless. You're foolish. Your actions are questionable. So when this type of pressure is being applied to you, you're not in a sound state. When the disloyal wants you to become, to join them. Saul used another type of reasoning on Jonathan. He appealed to him personally what he had to lose. 1 Samuel 20, verse 31. He said, "For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." He wanted to kill David that gave so much deliverance, and he is still alive, and his family is still alive due to that deliverance that God gave. Those who are disloyal exert influence on others to become disloyal. But loyalty demands that we resist. If we are going to be loyal, there will be resistance. You cannot just fall for the pressures to become disloyal, to turn against someone without a cause. That is not what loyalty is about. And loyalty is not about just sticking with a friend because he's your friend. That's not loyalty. That's not true loyalty. That leaves you open for destruction. I know sometimes people say, "You have my back." There's a popular saying. "You have my back, I'm going to side with you, whether you're right or wrong." That is not a godly loyalty. When you're going to take sides in an argument or opposition, that's not loyalty. That is false loyalty, and it will crumble. But I know that there are some who believe that that is loyalty. "I back you no matter what you do or what you say. And I'll pervert judgment because I'm not going to say, well, you're wrong and this man is right." That's not loyalty. That is sin. That isn't anything that worth developing or cherishing. You could throw that out the window. But this type of loyalty exists among us, among God's people. Jesus gave us a glimpse into the future that some will exert pressure on us to become disloyal to each other and to the faith. Our loyalty will be tested to the extreme by those we love, some are brethren, those whom we trust. We must continue to build on the virtue of loyalty. We must continue to build. This doesn't mean that we do not have loyalty. We can have loyalty. David had loyalty, and I want to show you where the nature of loyalty, that it must be very, very consistent throughout. We must continue to build on the virtue of loyalty that we already possess. I believe that most of us are loyal to someone, our family, and so on. But we need to build on that. Build on that and get others to be included. Don't exclude anybody from your loyalty. It is going to open you to danger. It is going to destroy all the good things that you've built. It is going to destroy the loyalty that you have, will be destroyed. When we are being pressured, the disloyalty from those who are disloyal will appear to them as the right action to take, to become disloyal. It is the wise thing to do. So you're foolish not to become disloyal, to shove somebody one side when the person hasn't done you any wrong, or don't have any wrong or intentions or feelings about you at all. against a brother or sister, father, mother, against friends. There's that pressure there. That is how we thrive as human beings. We want to get people into our loyalty fold and exclude others that don't toe the line. That is dangerous loyalty. But Jonathan and David excelled in loyalty to each other to the end. This was one of the success stories of a man coming up against even his father. His father trying to kill him for him to turn against someone that had only done good for the family, good for Israel, and so on. Father took up a spear and threw at him, kill him just because of that support. It wasn't easy for Jonathan to stand against his father, who was the king. But through it all, he remained loyal. This is what a true friend, this is what true loyalty is all about. When blood relatives, when you have to stand against blood relatives, when you have to stand against your sisters and those who are close to you and say, look, you are wrong, I'm not siding with that. That is loyalty. And that is the loyalty that God's people have to build. Not the loyalty out there in the world, you have my back, that doesn't cut it. On another occasion, David betrayed the loyalty of his servant. Although this man on one side, excellent in loyalty, he and Jonathan had a perfect relationship. But David was not cautious, did not understand the nature of loyalty. He dropped his guard. He was not loyal to someone that he should have been loyal to. Uriah the Hittite, a man under his command, he was army chief, David. But Uriah, he sent Uriah to his death. Uriah was faithful to him. Uriah don't even feel like he should go in his house and sit down with his wife and have a merry time. But David planned, and it ended up killing a faithful friend. Brethren, I hope you are getting my point. Being loyal doesn't mean that everything is covered as far as your loyalty is concerned. It cannot be partial. Sometimes you have loyalty great for your families, your friends, and so on. But on the other hand, you will become disloyal. And that is what brings David close to destruction. All that he had built and promoted, this act where Uriah, God was about to kill him for that disloyalty. The point I'm making, brethren, is that loyalty must be across the board for everyone. Try to be loyal to everyone. And if you leave an open end for Satan, he can destroy you. David never ever forgot that. Neither do we forget that event of disloyalty to Uriah. It is well recorded. And he would not. God told him, you know, the sword won't even depart from your family because of this thing that you did. So, brethren, it isn't a matter of not having any loyalty at all. You can be loyal on a high, high level in particular areas or most of the time. But make sure that you don't drop your loyalty and become disloyal and betray a friend, someone. It is easy to be done. This is the example that we have here. A man that you can find more loyal. David sent him his servant that loved him to his grave. David had to be forgiven so as not to lose his life on this occasion. This, brethren, is the serious nature of disloyalty, or the serious nature of loyalty that can easily destroy, disloyalty that could easily destroy all the loyalty that we have built with others over the years. It can come in jeopardy if we don't recognize that our loyalty must be across the board for all. Loyalty is justice and fairness and mercy. Loyalty, as Saul wanted to practice it, was a sin. He wasn't loyal to anyone. 1 Samuel 20, verse 42, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord. This is what these two men had God in their sight. These two men had the future, an eternal future in mind. That's why they were able to develop this type of relationship. In another area, another scripture, we read how it was a relationship that exceeds the love between a man and a woman. And we know that there's only one love that exceeds that, and that is the love of God. There's only one love that is greater, better, sweeter than the love between a man and a woman. And these two men possessed it. And further in verse 42, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. The two men try to repair all the damage that was done by Saul. That wreck that Saul did, these two men, their lives repaired a lot of that damage. With love, with loyalty. And David arose and departed with God between the two of them, and Jonathan went into the city. In conclusion, brethren, let us strive to build and maintain a completely loyal life. Our loyalty will be tested. Let us build a loyalty that does not unlawfully disadvantage anyone. Our loyalty should build up, not destroy anyone. Our loyalty should be fair. Resist every attempt to betray and become disloyal. Whenever you are being encouraged to become disloyal to anyone, resist. Loyalty is not passive. You must resist attempts to make you become loyal, become disloyal, and unjustly so. You must separate yourself from that. Let our blood relatives, our friends, our brethren be the recipients of our loyalty. Let everyone benefit from our loyalty. That will only happen if we have the right type of loyalty and know the pitfalls of being disloyal, and understanding that we have to be loyal across the board with all. Loyalty is a godly trait that will be valuable forever, as Jonathan recognized, as David recognized. I will bring peace in our lives. There's nothing like having a loyal friend. There's nothing like supporting your family and being loyal to them. It's a wonderful thing. Let us do it in the right way, brethren. Let us not take sides in our loyalties. That is not give preference to one body and not the other. That is not loyalty, and that is a pitfall. One day you will act against the one that you does not favor. It's a great pitfall. We can see when you drop your guard what happened with David, a man that was so loyal. Loyalty brings security from betrayal of each other. Don't let us fulfill that scripture that Jesus said will happen to his people, a betrayal of one another. Loyalty will prevent that, the right type of loyalty. Brethren, let us work on that, that be all recipients of God's mercy and his kingdom.